All right. Would you go with me this morning? And good to see you. 1 John and chapter 1. We've been in 1 John on Wednesday nights and going through a Bible type study of 1 John. It's been a great blessing to me. But this morning I have a message that I wanted to bring to you, and I've entitled it, A Successful Walk. Do you ever struggle in your walk with the Lord? I know I do, and I'll be the first to admit that. I struggle so often trying to stay faithful to our Lord. At times it seems difficult. But 1 John and chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, jump down to verse 5 for sake of timing this morning. Notice he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and, notice, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And so again, this morning, one of the first steps to a successful walk with the Lord is admitting where we are. Isn't that true? I've attempted to share the gospel with many people, and I know you have as well. And the first step is this, isn't it? Sir, ma'am, whoever it is, child, teenager, you need to understand that you're lost without Christ. You are dead in sin, the Bible says, in Ephesians 2 especially. You need the cleansing power and righteousness and what's termed in the Bible the imputation of righteousness. That again means God's righteousness on my account, right? It's nothing I've done. It's no righteousness that I'll do. It's my faith in him and his finished work. Now, a successful walk. You know that today, the drive of our society today is to be successful in every area of life. You have to make a certain amount of money. You have to drive a certain type of vehicle. You have to have a certain lifestyle for the world to clap and say, you're doing great, right? You're doing great. Those people that don't adhere or follow the ways or standards of the world are often cast aside. You and I as believers, we know that. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? The heavens, my treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And you and I ought to not get, and let me just be very kind with you this morning, but don't get attached to this world. Don't get attached to these things. Every single thing of this world is going to one day dissolve or burn up, right? These bodies that we have, one day they will go back into the ground. Everything in this world will be dissolved. Now, as we think about that, what kind of Christian should we be living? Life should we be living? We think about all these things. I heard recently of a couple of athletes that got in trouble for using those, whatever it was, those performance-enhancing drugs, they call them. And what were they doing? They wanted to get an edge on their competitors. They wanted to get something above their competitors so they can win, so they can be successful. Oh, and they got in trouble. You know that. And the things were stripped from them. Their trophies, their accolades, all the things were taken from them. It's very sad, very sad. But you and I know that. As we're not careful, we, in order to have a successful walk, we must abide by the Word of God and not our own standards. This is what John says, first of all. He says, here's the message that we have of him. And I heard this from Jesus, John said, and now I'm declaring it to you. I'm the messenger. And he shows them that we can have fellowship with him and be successful. The first step is admitting where we are. I don't know where you are today spiritually, but you and I have an opportunity daily to get right with God. We have an opportunity to repent, to turn to him, to say, God, I've not been where I should be. I want to get back to where I should be. And again, it's for your benefit. It's for you. You and I know that. Joshua said, if you want to have success, you must heed the word of God. You must heed it. You will find that throughout scriptures. Now again, let me move ahead here. But we see the authentic relationship with Christ brings a successful walk. An authentic relationship. He says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie. You know what hinders, one of the hindrances to our Christian walk is misunderstanding God. You go through a trial or difficulty, you go through a problem or pain, and what's the first thing we do? If you're like me, the first thing I do is go, Lord, why? I've been serving you, I'm faithful, I don't run with the wrong crowd, I'm not sinful in a lot of ways. I do sin, but I don't blatantly try and sin. I'm living for you, God. Why is this happening? Sometimes we misunderstand him. Now, turn with me, if you will, back to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, back a little ways, in chapter 11. John 11, I want you to see this. To have a successful walk with God, we must have an authentic relationship with him. And that starts by knowing God and knowing his word. John 11. Now, if you recall and know your Bibles, which I believe all of you do, you know this is the story of Lazarus. A certain man was sick named Lazarus, right? It goes on, and his sisters were there. And Jesus, verse 4, notice, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. He goes on. I won't read the entire chapter. And he abides, as you know, a couple of days without going. And they come to him, Martha comes first, and says to him, Lord, if you had been here, verse 21, notice that, said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jump over to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now what are they saying, Martha and Mary? They're saying, Lord, if you had been here, you would have kept him from dying. We would have avoided the problem. And Jesus said he purposely abode for 2 days because of what? So the glory of God could be revealed. You and I, if you're not, you're like me, and I know you are, but you want God to help you avoid the problem altogether. Lord, keep me from trouble, keep me from problems, keep me from financial problems. But do you know scripturally, God often allows us to go through the problem and the trial in order for us to see the glory of God? If God always took all your problems away and kept you from every difficulty and every financial difficulty and every child, parent-child problem and every other thing in life, then we would begin to become ungrateful, wouldn't we? Well, I got no problems. Well, oh, I got a problem on the horizon. Lord, go ahead and take care of that. I don't want to deal with that. The people in life, maybe a little more of a better example would be, you see people that grow up having a lot of money, children that never have to work, children that never have to go through trials. What do they become? Spoiled, rotten brats, don't they? And they get so angry at the world, and they're not happy, they're not joyful. They turn to the bottle, they turn to drugs, they ruin their lives, don't they? Because why? They have everything they could ever want. But the people that don't have that and work from the ground up for what they have, they're much more content. Now, I'm just saying today that God may not keep all the problems from your life. He'll allow you to go through some things in order for his glory to be revealed, one, and secondly, that we can grow. We can develop. We can develop our roots a little bit. Those trees you've seen recently with the hurricanes down in the south, those trees that have no roots, what happens? They're over in a second. The wind comes, man, blows it over. But those trees that have developed those deep roots and the winds have blown on them and over repeated over hurricane season and hurricane season over the years, what's happened is developed those strong trees, those strong trees. You and I know that. But notice, they said, Lord, if he had been here, he had not died. They both said that. And Jesus, in a lot of sense, as the people misunderstood him, it did not follow him. His own disciples, as you recall, you remember just earlier, and I'd encourage you to read the entire chapter, but Thomas comes and says, Lord, he's sleeping. The Lord said, yeah, he's sleeping. Well, it's good for us if we go, and it's good for us if we too go, and we too minister, and he goes on about some things, and Jesus plainly says to him, Lazarus is dead, and you're not basically understanding what I'm saying. And you and I must come back to this and say, God, I may not understand what I'm going through. I may not understand this. And I'm trying to live for you and I'm trying to be successful for you, Lord. And yet I keep having hiccups and bumps in the road. And let me just warn you again, if you make a decision today, Lord, I'm going to serve you better this week. Be ready, because there's an adversary. And the Bible says clearly, Peter puts it this way, he is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may, what? Devour. He wants to destroy you. And there's coming those things. But when we understand, Lord, if you'd been here, you'd not died. Where have you laid him? He said. They said, come and see. The Bible says he wept. You know that. And they said, oh, how he loved him. It goes on. Verse 39, they took away the stone. Verse 40, he says, arise, or the glory of God. They'll see the glory of God, he says there. And all of that, he says in verse 43, come forth, Lazarus. Notice verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Isn't that amazing to you? It is to me. They just seen Jesus raise a man from the dead who'd been dead 4 days. And they went and said, that's not right. Bunch of baby tattletales. They went and told the Pharisees. You ever have tattletales in your life growing up, a brother or sister? I'm going to go tell what you did. But they went and told, and they said, can you believe he raised? Do you know when you walk with God and try to have a successful walk with God, and you may not understand everything, but when you do walk with him, there's going to be two people that come into your life. Those that will encourage you and say, man, praise God, and others that are going to come at you and say, you're not doing right. I'm living for God. You know the people that get the pat on the back and get all the accolades? The people that aren't in church right now. The people that are living in sin. We come to church, nobody thanks us. We live for God. Some of you men, very faithful in your marriage. You women, faithful with the kids, helping there for the kids, teaching them the Bible, helping the grandkids. Nobody pats you on the back. But the guy that goes out and makes $50,000 tomorrow, my friends, remember this. Do not follow the ways of the world. Keep your eyes on Christ. To have a successful walk with him, you must have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And those people here that believed him were the ones that had a relationship with Jesus. The naysayers, the ones on the outside of the circle, they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. They went away in tattletale. Oh, I don't know what he's... And this led to them, it says, persecuting Jesus and attempting to destroy him. The last verse, 57, that they might take him, that they might destroy him. And later this leads ultimately to the cross, doesn't it? Now today, as I say, our walk must be real. The psalmist puts it, and David puts it so eloquently in Psalm 23, which you know probably very well. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Though I go through problems, Lord, though I go through difficulties, though I go through the temptations and trials of life, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And God is there to help us. He's here to help you. By the way, don't let the adversary deceive you and tell you that Jesus isn't there for you. Don't let him tell you that. That's what he told Martha and Mary. Now, if Jesus had showed up earlier, he wouldn't have died. And they went, yeah, you're right. We've already observed him heal people and raise people from the dead. Why wouldn't he not? We thought he was a friend of ours. We invited him into our home. They misunderstood. My friends, to clarify and clear up any wrongdoing, any misunderstanding, any false doctrine, any confusion, you and I have to be in this book. We've got to be. I want to encourage you again with this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you need to be in the Bible every day. And I'm preaching to myself. We need to be in the Bible every day of our lives if you want to see success. And if you don't believe that, if you doubt the Word of God, if you don't think it's very real, I encourage you, hey, I'm giving you a challenge. I dare you to be in the Bible this week. I dare you, because it'll change your life. Do you have a walk with Him? Do you have a walk? Jesus says in John 8:12, He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Light of life. We know that. Your walk is real. Let me jump ahead here. Number two, that righteousness will be a mark in your life. Righteousness will bring about a successful walk. Now, if you would go back to 1 John chapter 1, and I thank you for turning back with me, but back in 1 John and chapter 1, notice verse 8, as he continues, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Righteousness brings about a successful walk. Too many Christians today are hampered and hindered in their walk with God because of that walking in darkness. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which road to take. I don't know what God expects from me. And the fact of the matter is, yes, we do. We have a road map, don't we? As we've joked before, but when you have kids, you remember having your first baby, maybe some of you. And you wish that physician there that helped your wife or you deliver, as that baby was born, they were to take and hand you. Now, here's the instructions. You know, here's how to raise this thing. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll get 2 hours of sleep a week. Okay, good. And I'll probably become a zombie. Okay, good. Our marriage will be on the hinges for a while because we're about to kill each other. And you can't get this thing to shut up. It won't stop crying. I remember those days, right? And Joy and Noah are going a little bit. They just kind of got through some of that. They're at a second kind of stage now with little Theo. But you know that comes. We need an instruction manual. I was reading the other day, had some issues with our car. So I decided to get the manual out. Well, of course, it's about that thick, you know. And I'm going through it, and, you know, and I have no idea what it's saying. And I'm just going, my wife's going, did you find it yet? I'm like, yeah. What do you think we should do? Let me call, let me take it to somebody. We need an instruction manual. We need to know what God wants us to do. We need to follow that. God, what do you want me to do? We follow the Word of God. We follow Him. And we find out that we can have a successful walk in our righteousness. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at in your walk with Him? Is there something wrong? Is there something hindering? Are your prayers not being answered? There might be something in the way. Is there something there that's hindering your prayer life, hindering your walk? My friends, can I encourage you with that? He says, come back to the light. Come back to the light. Come back to where He is. The Bible, brings about something called the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. We walk with wise men, he says. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Walking where we should. All of those things. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness, a sin. It's a sin to any people as we turn away from Him, he says. But the righteousness, let me say here thirdly, we must have a Spirit-led walk. Spirit-led walk. As we walk with Him, following Him, leading Him. I love the old adage, but obeying the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Obeying what God has for us and what the Holy Spirit has for us. Leading us and helping us and directing us along the way, each way that we go. He says in Galatians 5, Paul does, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You having a tough time lately in your walk with Him? There's something there, isn't there? I found this time and time again, for me, that it is something hindering. There's something between my God, myself, and my Savior. And that old song we sing, nothing between me and my Savior. Your attitude isn't where it should be. You're critiquing, you're critical. Everything's pessimistic to you. Oh, my friends, when you walk with the Lord, none of that goes. It becomes a wonderful day to live. Each day's anew, each day's afresh. You have a sweet spirit. Romans 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we think through this. We must follow. Are you led of the Spirit today? Are you led? Read the story recently of a hiker. He went out on a trail and he decided to break away from the pack, away from the group, and said, I know this better than anyone else and I can handle this. And he went out and he took a turn and he ended up going down a ravine and then he got lost. If you've ever been lost before in the forest or somewhere, you get discombobulated. You get out of whack. You don't know where you are. And he got lost. Ended up being 3 days lost. And they finally found him and they asked him, what in the world are you doing? And he said, you know, to be honest with you, I thought I knew my way. Isn't that like a lot of people today? I thought I knew my way. And sadly, at the end of everything, Jesus makes a statement. He said, there will be many, not a few, many that will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, it's me. It's me. Remember me? And Lord's going to look at that person and he's going to say, depart, I never knew you. People are deceived today. They're deceived. And you know why they're deceived? This book is closed at home. They don't know that. They're misunderstanding the Lord. I want to be successful, Lord. I want to follow through. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to fail constantly. I want you to be at the helm of my life. Are you walking with him? He says here as we close out in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins. Not only to forgive, but notice to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a God and a Savior today that wants to help us, doesn't he? I say this, and I try to say it often. Sometimes I fail, but if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today's the day. Make sure of that. Make sure of that. Mention that to somebody the other day. If you don't know for sure, today's the day. Make sure you know who he is. And you can come before him today and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be in heaven with you one day. The brevity of life, the shortness of life. Yesterday, 9/11. Maybe some of you watched some stuff that they were airing and other things and some great reminders of all of that. But it brought to my attention the brevity of life, the shortness of life, the frailty of life. And those 3,000 plus people had no clue that on a Tuesday morning, mundane work day, that would happen, did they? You and I need to be ready, ready to meet our Savior, ready to be with him. But while we're here on this earth, and while God gives you the breath in your lungs and the heart in your chest beating, you and I need to have a successful walk with him. Is it successful? Could you label that today? My walk is pretty successful. I don't think any of us could say that. I think we all have a lot of room to grow, and I'm saying that about myself especially. We have a lot of room to grow. We need to grow in grace, as Peter said. What's it going to take? It's going to take some time invested. You need to put aside some things. We need to put aside work at times. We need to put aside our hobbies, other things. Time invested. We need to dedicate time, put it aside. Dedication is necessary. Dedication is key. Keep going. And again, as we saw in John 11, when they misunderstood and didn't get it, they sat back and watched Jesus work. When you don't understand what you're going through, when you don't understand the difficulties of life and what's happening to you, get in this book. God, speak to me. Show me what you want. Direct me. Spend time with him. And then can I say lastly here, we need to rely upon the Lord. I know that goes without saying, but rely upon the Lord. We can't walk like we're supposed to in this life with him without his help, without his help. Do you know the Lord knows how fragile and frail we are? He knows what we're going to do. He's omniscient. He knows we're going to fail at times. He knows what's going to happen. But you and I must rely upon him. Lord, you know I can't do it. Lord, you know I'm unsuccessful without you. You know that I'll stumble. You know my tendencies, Lord, to go this way, to look at that, to watch that, to go here, to be here, to say that. Lord, you empower me, you help me, and you guide me. Oh, what a church this could be if everybody walked with a spirit, walked with the Lord, said, God, I desire success in my life. Not humdrum, not middle-of-the-road Christianity. That kind of Christianity has corrupted the churches today. Well, I think we should do it this way. I think we should do it that way. No, we all come back to the Word of God and we follow that. You and I today, friends, can have a successful walk with Him and for Him. Are you walking with Him today? I believe you are. I pray for you folks as often as I can that you will have that walk with Him. And I must lead by example. I know that. But as we think about our kids, our grandkids, those behind you, you want to leave a lasting legacy? It's not, hey, how much grandma had in the bank account, how much papa had in the bank account, or boy, he left us his truck and his house. No, it's that mama, papa, granny, nanny, whatever they call you, mom, dad, they left us a legacy. They were faithful to church. They were faithful to God. When daddy had an opportunity to turn and run from the marriage, he stayed. When mama had an opportunity to flee and go her way, she stayed. And she read us the Bible. And she prayed for us, and he prayed for us. That's the legacy you want to leave. And they could stand back and say, boy, they had a successful walk with God. It's not difficult. God doesn't ask a lot from us, does he? Not very much at all. The Jews came up with somewhere around 613, 600 something like that, laws in the Old Testament. I'm so glad we don't have to follow that, aren't you? We follow the Word of God. 66 books contained in one book. They made it easy for us, didn't they? But he doesn't ask much from us. He doesn't ask much at all. You and I can follow. I can be very successful in this life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may not understand everything that you go through, but you come back to the Word and say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I trust you. That's what Mary and Martha said. If you'd been here, he had not died, but we trust you, Lord. I didn't read it, but she did say, but I know that you can raise him from the dead. I know it. You should have been here earlier, Lord. Sometimes we like to tell God what to do, don't we? Lord, you should have blessed me there. I don't know what's going on. Why weren't you there for us? And God says, maybe I wasn't there for you when you wanted me to, or I didn't allow that to happen, or I didn't give you what you wanted because you needed to need it more than you needed to have it. And sometimes we need to need it more than we need to have it. Isn't that true? And God will bless us. Anyways, thank you for coming this morning. I'd encourage you. I will be praying for you. Spend time with the Lord this week. We have plenty of time, plenty of time. And we know that. But the Lord is there for us. He's here for us every step of the way. He's here for us to help us, encourage us to have a successful walk. If we fail in that, it's nobody's fault but mine, isn't it? It's our own fault. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for time this morning. I know that these people are so faithful to you, Lord, and they love you. They spend time in your word. They spend time in prayer. They try and strive to walk with you and live for you. And oh, how grateful I am to be able to stand behind this pulpit this morning and preach to these dear saints of yours. I pray especially if anyone knows you not, Lord, they'd make that right with you today. They'd get saved. It'll be the greatest day of their life. And I pray for that. I pray for our little kids over there in the other room. As, Lord, they're being taught the Word of God, I pray for them. I pray for the little ones as they've not made the decision yet to accept you as their Savior. But I know that, God, if we'll remain faithful, we'll continue to pray and seek you, that they will, Lord. And I pray for them. I pray for our church that your hand would be upon it, Lord. Again, your presence would be here with us. We're just a social club without you, Lord, really. We don't want that. We come here seriously and soberly, Lord, to seek you and to know you. We pray you'd help each one of us, myself especially, to spend the proper amount of time in your word this week, time in prayer, time seeking you, Father, that we can be successful in our walk with you according to your standards of success, not this world's. We love and thank you, God, once again. Bless our day. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming today.